Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
2-point game, 6 seconds to go. Halliburton driving. He's in the lane. He nearly lost it. He backs up and unloads a three.
Oh,
that did not happen. It hit the back of the rim. It popped high into the air, and it dropped gently through the net. And the Pacers have, the scoreboard shows 125-125. It's called a 2-point shot.
Unbelievable. Jaws on the floor. Another Pacers comeback. How do they keep doing this? Welcome to the show. It's Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Knicks are up 14 points with under 3 minutes left to go in regulation. And it was an unconscious shooting effort from Aaron Nesmith, who hit 6 three-pointers and 2 free throws all in 3 minutes. He scored 20 points. And then you heard Tyrese Halliburton there on Pacers Radio Network giving you the play-by-play. They thought it was a three-pointer. The shot goes up, hits back iron, goes above the backboard, above the shot clock,
yeah,
and then falls down through the net. It's ruled a two-pointer. Big toe on the line, goes to overtime. The Pacers win it. They take game one.
Yeah, I was at home watching this game. I was getting ready. I'm like, okay, the Knicks are up by 20. I can get ready for bed,
right?
Brush my teeth,
mm-hmm,
put on my pajamas. I had it all timed out.
Cap?
An hour later, I can't sleep because I'm so excited. That was the one downside of this game for me, because I'm not rooting for the Pacers or the Knicks, is that it kept me up too late. Which is
I gotta tell you guys the story. I told Maggie the story, yeah, but this was my last text because Andrea, my fiance, went to sleep early because it seemed like the game was, you know, put away. So her text to me was, going to sleep, but let me know when let me know if the Knicks win. My last text.
Smiley face. I
yes.
know.
Just
trying to be supportive. A supportive fiance, but that kind of feels like a little bit of the knife.
I now sent her 12 sad emoji faces in this text.
By the way, I got a text from my I was telling Maggie, my wife never weighs in on anything. I think she wanted to get a, she texted me this morning, Knicks will win tonight. One, they're not playing tonight, but okay.
Damn it, Sarah. We're already 0-1 there.
She said they were hesitant last night, overwhelmed by pressure, but losing like that was a wake-up call.
My friends asked me if I was alive.
Sarah's got an optimistic angle for you, that it's a wake-up call, that slap in the face the Knicks need. I didn't even thought of that angle. Would this galvanize the Knicks?
Well, we're asking if they're going to be able to regroup, because they're usually the team doing this to other people.
Yeah. Right?
They did this to the Celtics twice, where they overcame 20-point deficits. Jalen Brunson is Mr. Clutch in the NBA, and then Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers gave him a little taste of their own medicine last night. Is it a wake-up call? I didn't think they needed a wake-up call. I thought the Knicks were ready for this series.
Well, I think there were points of the game they underestimated the Pacers. I think they were like, wow, this team can't hang with us. They got overconfident, clearly.
I know one thing. The fans is definitely very sobering. If you're one of those people out there, and there are a lot of them out there, who have been tired of seeing Knicks fans flooding the streets on 7th Avenue after a win, I think you were like, there's some humble pie for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but don't you
that'd be any fan base, by the way. Maybe especially the Knicks, because of how they've been celebrating, like they've been winning the title when it's just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is still a big accomplishment. But any fan base that over-celebrates, we'd be doing that to Philadelphia if we could. We'd be taking down Bills fans for jumping through tables.
Sure.
We would like to, you know, we like it when people get a dose of humble pie.
Yeah, I think actually the players, I think they really thought they had Indiana's number last night. And you could see their energy drained at the end. Why? Were they tired or were they shell-shocked? I expect them to win game two. I mean, you should, right? I mean, they're at home. The Pacers really, like, the Pacers just want to come out of here 1-1 and get back to Indy. So I'm picking the Knicks big time because my wife has an instinct for these things.
Does she?
No, I don't know. She actually, she tells me.
She gave him hope and then he just took it away.
No, she does have, she's really, really strong instincts. But she basically about halfway through the game said, wait, the Knicks are wearing white, right? So she's not exactly an NBA expert.
Yeah, they were wearing white.
She was rooting for the yellow team for a while.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's not an NBA fan.
That's amazing. I'd love to have that level of detachment. It'd be great.
It says Indiana on their chest.
Details, Manny. Here's Jalen Brunson.
Half watching.
Says the Knicks need to stay level-headed after this loss.
In the playoffs, when you win, it's the best thing ever. When you lose, the worst thing ever. And so the best way to deal with all that is to stay level-headed and making sure we have each other's backs. Obviously, not the way we want to finish the game. I mean, like I said, like you said, tomorrow we're going to have to watch film and get better and just making sure that we're ready for game two.
And, you know, it's going to be on him, right? Because everyone looks to Brunson and his shoulders are the big ones who are going to have to carry this thing. And, you know, he was carrying him obviously for stretches last night too, even though he got in foul trouble.
Is he going to have the energy to put up another 43-point game?
Definitely. He'll have the energy. It's just ankles hold up.
Yeah, I just thought that was getting to be a lot on him. Again, it's worked. By the end, it was getting harder and harder for him to breathe. They were doubling him the second he got over half court. I think you need more from Bridges. You need more from Hart. You need guys to help him a little bit.
Well, we said that after they lost a bad game in Boston. Also,
yeah.
When we thought they were going to close out the series, and you know, it was like, where's the bench guys? And then they put together one of the best playoff games that's probably ever existed at Madison Square Garden. Yeah. Right after that, to cap off the Celtics. From the chat again, Titan Maniac, wish there was a recording of Manny and EJ as this was happening last night. It would have been mostly beeps to play in radio. Manny still has not removed his jacket today. We're 3 hours into the show. It's a sad day. It's like it's game one though, Manny.
Jason Dominguez hit a walk-off home run, though, yesterday, so that's nice.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Only been waiting for that guy to come through for a decade.
The video for me would just be nothing, because I was literally sitting there on my couch, just like,
yeah,
that just happened.
So stunned more than curse words.
Yeah.
It's happened. I mean, you guys, that when we were on CBS Sports Network, and they used to play on repeat the moment, the 13 seconds game. Just head in your hands. We've all been there. We've all been there. Andy in Pittsburgh wants to weigh in on this. Andy, good morning.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going great. What did last night remind you of?
It reminded me of game one of the 2015 World Series for the Mets.
Ouch.
Yeah. When they were up going the ninth inning, and then Familia gave the home run, and then they lost in 14 innings. And then that kind of knocked the air out of them. But I wanted to say, because obviously there's a 76ers fan on the cast, it also reminded me of the Tyrese Maxey game.
Yep.
And after that happened, I was like, I could easily see this changing the entire series. The Knicks somehow regrouped and won game six. What do you think they were able to do that time? And what do you think they need to do this time?
By the way, that night, I had one of my greatest social media victory tours ever, giving crap to Jerry Ferrara when Tyrese Maxey went up.
It was Turtle from Entourage?
Yeah, who's a super Knicks fan. Does he work for the Knicks still? Or used to work for them. And then he got me the next game because, of course, Embiid. I mean, whatever. That's a great point. I'm telling you, the famous joke game, the Pacers lost that series.
Yep.
So this is not over. I think there's a sense out there that the Pacers just won the series. I mean, I get it, but I think this is going to be, there's going to be more drama. I think this could be one of the great all-time series because I think the Knicks have their moment too.
Well, I mean, Andy had to go out there and bring up Mets World Series game one against the Royals. I didn't see that one coming. I forgot about that painful memory.
Bad. You guys lost to the Royals at a World Series.
Yeah, that's rough.
Lost a Canadian team. Come
on. That was a repeat champion. They had still Paul Molitor and Joe Carter.
Still Canada.
Who?
What's his anti-Canada? What are you?
Former Twins manager Paul Molitor? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
The Toronto Blue Jays, there was a time when they were a dream team.
Yeah, with Jose Bautista, I remember that era.
Speaking of celebrating, that guy made it an art form. Andy is in Michigan. Got another Andy. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Sorry I'm not feeling too well, so I'll try to get through this. So you're talking about gut punches. Mine was the 2013 World Series, the ALCS. The Tigers up 1-0, and game two, they're up 5-1 in the eighth inning, and they give up a grand slam to Poppy, Big Poppy. You know, this was just a gut punch for me because they end up losing that game. Obviously, end up losing the series. But the Tigers had three Cy Young pitchers on that team. They had Cabrera and Fielder. Fielder just coming off the Triple Crown. year in 2012. This was their best chance to win the World Series. And what infuriates me even more is seeing an interview with Big Poppy later on, and he said, yeah, you know, the Cardinals were tough and all, but man, Detroit's starting pitching. And he always lamented that. And that the Tigers really, now they're doing amazing this year, but it took them a while to get there because they had to blow up their basically their whole cast.
You know, Andy, I was wondering about that. Isn't it more painful, though, when you lose the World Series to, what was it, San Francisco? Because you guys had that really long layoff, and San Francisco came in really hot. Am I remembering that right?
I think it was St. Louis.
Or St. Louis.
Yeah,
am I getting the right, year? I'm sorry.
Was that 06?
I'm doing this off the top of my head. And it was the Tigers, like, blew through the American League and were waiting around to see who their opponent was going to be. It must have been St. Louis, actually. That makes more sense. Because they went seven games to the Mets, obviously. And another painful memory for us.
And the Tigers beat the Yankees in that year. In 06.
Yeah. That one sucked, but this one stung harder. Because it was like that. The Deshaun Jackson, just don't kick it to Deshaun Jackson, and then they kick it. And it was like Jim Leland specifically said, don't give him fastball to hit.
Andy, maybe you ought to focus on college football instead of baseball right now. I mean, you beat Ohio State a bunch of times. That's good, right?
That's good. And, hey, I'm good right now because they're doing amazing, but it took a long time to get there.
Andy, we know what you're talking about there. I totally understand. JT's in Atlanta. JT, what'd you think last night?
It's crazy because, you know, I drive truck, so I'm always up in the morning with you guys, and I stayed up all night. I didn't think I was going to make it through that game, and it just could not, like Perloff said, I couldn't go to sleep. It was ridiculous. And I did think it was over at one point, and then to watch what had happened, there is a sense almost of inevitability about these Pacers. I mean, if you just kind of follow in their whole thing through the playoffs, these games that they keep winning, and I don't know if it has to do with the curse of the ballot of Mr. Overrated or not, but this guy has been playing out of his mind. I mean, I know Brunson's Mr. Clutch, but I could argue that Halliburton has been equally as clutch throughout these playoffs. And I mean, just the physics of that shot don't make any sense. I mean, you shoot it from 23, 25 feet away. And instead of it, like, you know, long shots, long rebounds. What? It goes straight up in the air and comes right back down? I mean, what are the odds? It's just this whole game yesterday was insane. I can't wait to see where this series goes. The choke thing was kind of that was kind of bogus because it didn't kind of fit the moment. But other than that, I think this was just another crazy game. And as a Knicks fan, like we were saying, we were tired of seeing that all that celebration out in the streets, just like you guys were rooting against the Eagles yesterday, and just didn't want us to win. But you know what? Just like in the regular season, in the off season, the tush push is just as effective. It can't be stopped as well. So
it can't be stopped on the field, in meetings. It can't be stopped. Thank you for that great call. I said the Eagles already started off with they're 1-0 right now. You got a W yesterday, and we're deep into the offseason. Tush push lives.
Winning franchises don't win in May. They win in December.
Well,
and
you
January.
Do both. You win in May or winning in February. So
yeah, it's more like EJ's team to win in May.
You know who? So this is a little inside. It's a little insider for you, but we're talking about how did that shot go in, right? Like sports gods, physics, defying everything. How did Aaron Nesmith all of a sudden hit 6 threes, you know?
One of them was insane. Yeah, I have no idea.
Some of them were like line drives. Some of them were more like
looping.
Yeah,
he was up in the air and he kind of kicked his legs out. Incredible.
It's like, was he shooting blindfolded at one point? Every shot went in. And we're talking about, well, what did the Knicks do to anger the sports gods, right? I mean, my stuff with James Dolan aside, but like, what did they really do? This is a likable team for most people, right? Jalen Brunson. How do you not like Jalen Brunson? I mean, this guy's an incredible story. Took less money so they could sign everyone.
Foul merchant, but okay.
Sure. But I mean, that's fine. You know who's getting away unscathed here?
Joel Embiid, the foul merchant?
Well, JT just brought it up about the Tyrese Halliburton overrated chance. Right? Because he got voted most overrated player.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Wally Zerbiak, who does Knicks games for the Knicks locally, called Tyrese Halliburton a fake all-star?
Oh, I remember.
That kind of started this whole thing. And Wally is great. I think he's fantastic. But he kind of started the anti-Halliburton when he called him a fake all-star before he got the overrated moniker.
So you're saying it's on him?
I'm just saying, if the Pacers lose, did they poke the bear a little bit with the Knicks? I mean, listen, the Pacers also beat the Knicks last year, so there's history that's brewing.
It's the same thing with Halliburton, though, because Halliburton started that because he wouldn't stop talking about the Knicks even when he was on the Kings, because he thought the Knicks would draft him. They didn't.
Right.
And he made it a point in the first season, rookie year, they beat the Knicks on the road or at home. He was like, yeah, I thought this team would draft me. And he kept talking about it.
Like a scoring lover.
So Serbia had that waiting in the tuck as soon as they lost to him. And then he's now made them pay ever since. So credit to him. But that's the thing with Halliburton is he's always the guy that's igniting the feud. The problem is he can back it up.
Well, I didn't know that he wanted to be drafted by the Knicks. So maybe that's what it. Maybe it is lover.
I don't know if it's necessarily wanted, but he definitely he was a guy that people thought Knicks would draft, and they drafted Obi Toppin instead. And he mentioned that he thought that the Knicks would draft him.
Hmm.
This was when he was in Sacramento.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was going. And then when they beat the Knicks, he made it a point to talk about how this team didn't draft me. I wanted to show them.
Maybe that's it.
This has been a thing that's been brewing since his rookie year.
Yeah, but Rick Carlisle basically said goodbye to Jalen Brunson. That's a lot worse.
Well, that wasn't Carlisle. That was Cuban.
It was Cuban. Right?
Carlisle, I think, was fired. Carlisle was fired. He wasn't there. Jason Kidd was there.
Yeah, that was Kidd.
So yep. Carlisle? Oh, I had heard the other day that Brunson has a grudge against Carlisle.
Well, Carlisle didn't really play him. That was more the issue. Carlisle really, really saw him as a bench guy. Kidd played him more and gave him more, more responsibility. He had that great playoffs where Luka was hurt, but then they got rid of him. They let him walk. So he's got beef with everybody in Dallas.
Now, there's a lot of, if the Western Conference, we felt like they were kind of grasping for, hey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, yeah. Shai is cousins with Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Cool.
You don't
need much in the Eastern Conference. You got all types of stuff.
I saw yesterday, Ian Bagley, who works for SNY, mentioned that also, or maybe it was Varden, actually. I'm sorry, Joe Varden. He didn't tell you what else, ironically, but he said it to SNY, that Jalen Brunson also remembers them picking Halliburton over him in the World Cup Team USA last year. And he remembered that. He did not like that. He is friends with Halliburton, but he wanted this matchup again because he wanted to show this.
He should have been on Team USA.
He should have been on the team.
Okay, hold on. You guys know I love my Jalen Brunson. JB broke his hand. He wasn't going to be playing in the Olympics.
I think they named the team before he broke his hand, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and also they put Kawhi on the team, and he was clearly hurt.
Yeah,
and Joel Embiid.
Knee was basically my knee.
quickly, I want to let George get in here because George, our pal in L.A., want to bring up, it was a crazy day if you're living in Indianapolis, if you're a fan of indie sports, because you have this incredible win, but you also got the sad news that Jim Irsay passed away, just 65 years old. Good morning, George. You wanted to mention that.
Yeah, my condolences to the Irsay family. But I don't know if you guys know, but the Irsays have a connection to the Rams because his dad owned the Rams and he switched teams with Rosenblum a long time ago. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
I didn't know that. I did not.
Yeah, back in 1970, they switched teams in that career.
Yeah.
So they sold the teams to each other, or they just switched?
They just switched. That's crazy.
I've never heard that story.
Yeah. Rosenblum was the Colts owner. He went to L.A. Irsay was Rams owner. He went to Baltimore back in the day.
1972. This is real.
No kidding. I didn't even know you could do that. Legally, doesn't have to be like a dollar at least, something? Doesn't something have to change hands? That's crazy. Obviously, and Jim Irsay's dad, was not a popular person because of how they left Baltimore to go to Indy, and it was, the Mayflower trucks and under the cover of night, and it felt really underhanded and stuff. And, Jim Irsay took over as GM in the 80s. I mean, he's been running that team for a long, long time. You've met him, Pearl, or no?
No, I have a lot of friends who know him. One of my good friends, Jerry,
you,
I know is best friends with was best friends with him. Feeling it today, feel bad. He has had an incredible up and down life because he got really down low and it's had really good ups. I was really surprised. I did not know how many friends in the media he had, longtime NFL reporters who said he's been so generous to me. I did not know that. For example, our friend Mike Silver, our friend Albert Breer, a lot of people said that he would, behind the scenes, just be very open to reporters and stuff. Because he's a guy whose life was definitely, he bottomed out hard, very hard. And he was dedicated to recovery. And also the emotion of Peyton Manning and so many former Colts. I think we misunderstood him a little bit because he was so outspoken on Twitter, for example.
Yeah.
And the Colts were kind of a up and down franchise. I think you were learning more about him since he died than when he was alive. He was very brash. Didn't you think of him as brash his public persona? But behind the scenes, apparently that's not who he was.
Well, it's funny because the last kind of public thing with him was really like a big contract dispute with Jonathan Taylor. Remember how that got pretty bad with the agents and Jonathan Taylor wanted to get paid? I always thought one of the two interesting things about Ursay, one is the collection he has of music memorabilia that apparently is second to none. And he was very generous about, you know, displaying it so people could see like Prince's guitars and all these cool things that he's bought. But also, he went to some really great lengths at one point to save a killer whale.
Oh, is he? That was him, the killer whale thing?
Yeah. So he donated a lot of money to, I think it was the Miami Sea Aquarium, like, or I don't want to botch the story, but I think the whale was on one coast and needed to get to the other coast. Like, it was in Seattle or the outside in the West Coast and needed to get to the East Coast. And Jim Irsay really took up for this, for Toki, the killer whale.
Yeah. So, you know, it's also too, have you ever heard him sing? Had you?
No.
Oh my God.
I know he liked the mic.
No, he, unlike certain other owners in certain cities, he was good. And not just
really?
Good. Oh my God. His, he does old rock covers and he was like a kind of a blues rock singer. Really good. Like he, for that kind of gravelly music. Who, by the way, it's so funny about this too. I haven't heard a lot about the succession plan in Indy.
The oldest daughter is apparently going to take over now.
For now, I'm wondering how secure is that? Because you know what happens. Look at the Paul Allen family. Yeah, are they going to sell it? I feel like the Irsays of the Colts are so intertwined. I can't ever imagine that particular franchise leaving the family.
Yeah, I know he's got a lot of daughters, and so the oldest daughter is going to take over now. But I don't know. If I'm in the NFL business right now, do you sell? You could get, how much do you think the Colts would go for with the stadium? Getting $6 billion for that?
Yeah. I mean, here's what you can do, though. You can sell chunks of it, like the Niners just did, so you can profit off of it and still keep the team, just lose a little bit of control. Yeah, I mean, but rest in peace. This is a huge change for what, the Colts are not going to be the same team.
That's true. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, we have more for you, including somebody is pining over someone. Talk about, it seems like girlfriends and boyfriends breaking up yesterday. Well, someone's living rent-free in a franchise's head. We'll get to that next.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh my gosh, we got an Aaron Rodgers Saturday. Maggie, welcome back to Maggie Pearl Show. Does that mean, did he sign today?
No. What's up with Aaron Rodgers today is he's living rent-free in the Jets' heads. I don't know why, but it seemed really clear to me that the team he's left, I think the theme of the day is like scorned significant others of this show. But here is Aaron Glenn, Jets' new coach. Manny, I'll hear cut 19, please, on saying Justin Fields, much unlike Aaron Rodgers, not a celebrity quarterback.
I'm going to use a Parcells deal now. He's not trying to be the celebrity quarterback. He's just trying to be himself. And whatever comes with that, it comes with it. So he's not trying to impress anybody. He's going out there and he's busting his ass trying to be the best quarterback he can be for this team. And everybody see that. And I like that.
I said, you don't know me.
So not courtside at the Garden last night? No, not trying to impress the New York fans where Aaron Rodgers once went back-to-back to a Knicks game and then a Ranger game two nights in a row. Yeah. Not real New Yorkers would never do something like that.
Notice who's been doing that tour this offseason?
Well, Russell Wilson.
There
but
you go.
He did that in Pittsburgh, too. He can't help himself.
Mm-hmm. I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, Exactly.
Exactly.
That is right there is our best drop. It works for anything.
And then exactly. He said, and then I said, it's an all-time. If it actually went down that way between Rodgers and Aaron Glenn, it's an all-timer.
So, wait, does anybody here have a problem with Aaron Glenn? Are we saying that the Jets are being a little weak? So I'm worried about Aaron Glenn. I'll tell you right now.
Why?
Their win total, I just looked it up last night. They are predicted to be the second worst team in the NFL. Are they tanking? What's happening here? Like, what if he's terrible? Are people going to immediately be calling for his job? Is he threatening to be one and done? Like, no. They didn't invest in quarterback.
No, this is a teardown. I mean, they've basically released almost every veteran. It's got to be the youngest roster in the NFL or close to it.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah. They got rid of all the
punters, kickers.
Some of their defensive players.
Well, Quinnen Williams is still there.
That's the one.
But
yeah.
He's still in his 20s.
He's not old anymore.
You know, I'm talking, they don't have a ton of like...
CJ Mosley's gone.
Veteran guys. Okay, Alan Lazard's there for now, but that could come to an end once Rodgers makes up his mind.
So they're good to lose this year.
I would think so. This is a rebuild.
This is a team also that has executed a full season tank. It didn't work. They were trying to get Trevor Lawrence. Right. They ended up with Zach Wilson. But that's so is life as a Jet.
I just think that coaches who take jobs where they're tanking, it always sounds like it's going to be okay. But the actual losing is pervasive. It's going to stink. And Aaron Glenn, if they're really built to lose, Aaron Glenn is going to melt down.
Well, so two things on that. First of all, I think Aaron Glenn was choosing between Jets and Saints, right? Those head coaching opportunities. So I probably would have went Jets too.
And don't be a freaking weirdo.
The other thing is, this is where I worry for Aaron Glenn. I've said this before. He's like, I'm going to go with a Parcellsism, right? He does don't a celebrity quarterback. And that's fine. And Parcells is a huge influence on him. And I'd expect him to be a big influence. Why not? But I saw this with Belichick disciples. They try to do this Bill Belichick impersonation. And it just never worked because you're not Parcells. You played for Parcells. You don't have the rings. You don't have the gravitas as a head coach yet. Certainly Aaron Glenn was a great player, but I worry about him just kind of being his own guy. Let's not nostalgia bomb the fans back to the Parcells days because those were successful.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn hasn't done anything yet.
I hear you. I mean, bottom line, I think he has to win. I think you're a little too, you're just like, oh, it's a rebuild. I don't know that Jets fans are going to be so forgiving if they really, really stink again. Like that year where they're trying to get Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
That made sense. I'm just not sure I don't get that vibe. That's weird.
I don't know if they're going to run him out of the building. And I get New York versus Detroit, but the blueprint of what the Lions did with first time full-time head coach. I'm not saying Aaron Glenn is Dan Campbell from a personality standpoint. First time GM and Brad Holmes. So you've got Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooney. Same blueprint of, hey, we could have went for the sexy pick in round one with a pass-catching tight end. What did they do? They went lineman, whereas the Lions did that with Penei Sewell and slowly built it up.
Got it.
And kind of changed the identity and the culture. Now, admittedly, the Jet fan base does not have as much patience for those things. They've seen it time and time again with the new head coach GM combo, and it crashes and burns. But at least he played here, knows the market.
Yes.
That's
so
the hope, I think.
One other thing that happened with the Lions low-key, though, was there was like a shuffle in who was running the team. Woody Johnson is still here.
Yes.
He's your wild card that should make you scared because I don't trust him to have patience. Like, I think the Lions went, I'm not one Ford to another Ford, obviously.
Someone got old and passed.
She was.
I don't think she passed away.
She was more hands-off.
Yes.
Sheila Ford.
Sheila Ford.
Along those. She's
a really good point.
They went from a bad Ford to a good Ford.
Yeah. Yeah.
They went from a Ford Focus to a Mustang.
I'll never forget that first draft and Brad Holmes screaming and yelling when they were able to select Penei Sewell.
Because the Bengals took Ja'Marr Chase.
And he's just like all fired up and Dan Campbell's in there and you got all that energy and masculinity and she's like this tiny little proper quiet older woman. And
was that Martha Ford?
Martha Ford.
Yeah.
I think Martha Ford was the one who passed, if I'm not mistaken. I think Sheila is the one.
We gotta get our Fords in a row.
We'll check. But she was, I mean, just watching her get embraced by these two fired up men, and she's like, whoa, what's going on here? Yeah, but Sheila Ford Hamp.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the Lions are perennial losers. I don't think the Jets can be as patient. I know this Jets fan base. It's gonna be a mess. And Maggie, you pointed out a good point. If he's doing a Parcells impersonation, I just worry. And he's a very fiery guy.
Yes.
He doesn't put up with a lot of crap. I just think this would be a disaster. If they're 3-14, it's going to feel awful for everybody.
Well, but you got to have a little patience. Yeah. I think I think that the Jets fans
after year.
Well,
one.
I think
New
the
York.
Jets fans want someone who's putting up with crap. See, that's the thing. Robert Saleh gave off this thing with the 49ers that he was this super intense. He needed a get back guy. You know, he's the defensive coordinator. He's all over. Then he got to the Jets and he really changed. He was like Mr. Arms around everybody, golfing with Joe Beningo, giving secrets out to like media members. Like,
also very muted on the sidelines. A guy who was a maniac on the sidelines became very stoic.
And it was like, why are you kicking off why are you allowing kickoff to the Patriots when you're up in Foxborough about to win this game and you basically pulled these bonehead moves?
But what was the problem? What was the main problem for Robert Saleh? He never had a quarterback. Yeah. What's the main problem for Aaron Glenn right now? He does not have his. I mean, sorry, maybe Justin Fields is going to be great, but it's a risk because he's not putting any money into him. I don't know. Like, if you don't have a quarterback, I don't care if you do have the original Bill Parcells. Yeah. This is going to go bad.
To be fair, though, the Jets have had Robert Saleh, Adam Gase, and Todd Bowles the last three coaches. None of those guys were one and done.
Yeah, I don't think
they were all bad. Yeah, well, Jets not fans.
Yeah, but there was all. These are all disasters.
Yeah. But they all got at least multiple seasons.
Yeah, and Robert Saleh's first year was 4-13, and they kept him. I think he'll get at least a year.
Maggie hit on the bigger issue is the owner. I mean, as long as he's there, you can bring through pretty much any coach you want, and things seem to go badly or wrong.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, we're watching what's happening with the Knicks now. It's a miracle that, you know, after 20 years of bad and Dolan and meddling and all that, they've actually let this regime just sort of do their thing. Mm-hmm. And look at the awesome results. I mean, take away game one, but you're still in the Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, because the Celtics got hurt.
He can't resist.
He's wearing a Sixer hat. What's the biggest sign of loserdom right now than the Philadelphia 76ers?
None. Listen, I'd rather be home on the couch. I'd rather be in Acapulco like the Sixers than lose the way you did
loser
last night.
Loser mentality, just like the entire city of Philadelphia. A bunch of losers.
Except for the football team.
Manny's awake.
poor Manny. He's going through it this morning. And EJ.
What?
Take it out on the poor Sixers. All they're trying to do is trade the number three pick for Kevin Durant. Can't you let them have their fun?
What?
What an awesome idea.
Sure, that's going to work out.
How did we not think
that's going to work out just as well as the Jets quarterback room.
You know what? Maybe. Honestly, they don't deserve this today. Fly Eagles Fly deserves to play today because the Tush Push got saved.
Sure did.
By Jeffrey Lurie, an impassioned, intense, hour long, can you imagine?
No.
Think about it. In 1 hour of this show, let's think of all the topics that we've actually hit upon, which started from the Knicks losing, wet dreams. We talked about Bill Belichick and Mac Brown taking a shot. And we do all that in an hour. He just talked about
these strippers.
He talked about the Tush Push for an hour. We couldn't even, EJ, if you put the Tush Push on the show for an hour on the rundown, we'd be like, you've lost your mind.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for a new executive producer.
I could easily talk about the Tush Push for an hour.
Yeah, well, that's why you have your Philly text threads. Yeah.
You could have been in there with them yesterday.
I was basically
backing up Kelsey. Yeah.
But you know what's funny? My Philly text thread was not as excited as you are about this whole thing.
Well, something, we're not excited. We're
something just feels wrong about the way this whole thing went down. I can't. Maybe it's the wet dream comment that owner Jeffrey Lurie made. Maybe it's the fact that what really bothered me, totally random, is that Jason Kelsey went there to advocate for the play, then would not talk to reporters afterwards. What was that about? You're in, and he said, "I'm not here to talk to the media," and you're in the media. I found this very confusing. Like, what is going? And is it you brought up earlier, Jason Kelsey walked into the room? Does this normally happen in NFL owners' meetings?
Well, this is why Jeffrey Lurie is the new mafia boss.
I will put you in that trash can over there.
He had to bring the muscle. I just don't know how anyone saw Jason Kelsey and thought, this guy's giving me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Like, Jeffrey Lurie's made him a millionaire multi times over. He's Mr. Philadelphia now. Yeah. Like, what do you think he's going to say about the Tush Push? Like, hey, guys, it really sucks. Don't vote for it.
Yeah,
I mean, go in there and say, I never felt safer in my life. Like, come on.
That guy worked for a league broadcast partner. as a football analyst, and then he's going to NFL owners meetings advocating for the Philadelphia Eagles. If you don't think the Eagles run the NFL, you're not paying attention.
I mean, the funny thing is, like,
and he actually changed people's minds.
Style-wise, Jeffrey Lurie is definitely not, as a person, he is not like the mafia boss.
Well, you don't have
he's
to.
He's a soft, cuddly owner in many, many ways.
Mafia dons come in many different varietals. You don't have to be Jerry Jones, you know.
Yeah.
You've never done a little research? Paul Castellanos was not the same as John Gotti, guys. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Nick Castellanos.
him too.
Deep drive to left.
I'm telling you, you gotta, you know, pick up a book.
Do we know how many minds they changed, though?
Because,
like,
know how to read.
It was 22 to 10. You take the Eagles out, so it's 9 teams. Like, how many did they actually swing?
2, 3, or 4, probably, if you had to guess.
They were too shy, so we felt that there were a few that were on the fence,
and
that they brought over.
Ravens, Lions.
Jets were in there. Patriots
Jets
were
on there, yep.
Jets were
on there. I think the Jags,
yeah,
the Titans.
Yeah.
The Lions was Dan Campbell just trying to man up. He's like, I'm not going to let them do this to me.
That's the best one, because like I said earlier, they're actually on the Eagles schedule for this year, whereas
they'll never
the other
see it coming.
13 teams who are all voted to get rid of it. So,
yeah, well, what do the Patriots possibly care about, you know, the Eagles
know.
Right now? They play them once every 4 years. Doesn't matter.
Why don't the Applebee's?
I think it's interesting. I'm thinking, why don't other teams use it? I think, say the Patriots, like, you're not going to, I think other teams are scared of it. I think they think their quarterback will get hurt.
We
they don't
to
want to put Drake May, their huge investment in this position. So the Eagles obviously don't care about Jalen Hurts.
I know, but now, but,
well, or they feel he can take it. He's built for
it. I mean, there is like, there are whispers that, like, Howie has some crushes on other college quarterbacks. Howie is impatient at quarterback.
He'd be dreaming about them?
Yeah.
Now everything with Philadelphia is going to be a dream this, dream that. If you're just getting caught up, Jeffrey Lurie said that either way, whether the Tush Push got banned or not banned, either way it's a win for Philly because it'd be like a...
Well, I mean, look at the NFC East.
Stay hard.
Yeah. Cowboys are not going to use it because their quarterback is a glass doll. The Giants have Russell Wilson, is too short to do it with, and or Jackson.
Same height as
Hurts. Hold on.
Yeah,
stocky. Jalen Hurts is not 7'3"
yeah.
now.
I think Hurts has got a couple inches on him. And then the Jaden Daniels, like, you're not risking that guy in a Tush Push. So I think that I'm sure those teams all voted against it, right?
NFC East teams?
Yeah.
I didn't see them on the
entire NFC East.
Can you imagine the Cowboys trying to do a Tush Push? It would not work well.
Actually,
here we go.
Jerry did weigh in on this, didn't he?
Yeah,
he weighs in on everything.
Yeah, he goes,
questions.
Am I really against the Tush Push, or just don't want the Eagles to have an edge?
Here we go. I thought that was very honest.
Yeah, he should be like that.
No.
Rivalries, grudges.
Yeah. This is soft.
He also said they didn't talk about the 18-game schedule, and then Goodell came out in the press conference and kind of alluded to that they did. So
maybe Jerry was taking a nap.
The NFL's like, look over here at the Tush Push. Meanwhile, sneak in an extra game.
Did you hear this yesterday? Remember they were going to give Goodell the contract extension. Apparently they've tabled that now.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like, you couldn't even get the Tush Push banned.
That was another thing Jerry revealed afterwards. Or at least that was the
first. Oh, it was
about Goodell? Maybe others did as well, but I specifically saw some. He said that we didn't talk 18-game schedule or Goodell's extension. So,
CeeLo, can you hang? I do want to get some sound from last night's game. It was epic. The Pacers take game one at Madison Square Garden. We got some hockey for you as well. Don't move. It's M&P.
I don't know his name.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey, the all-new, all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 9. Space up. Space for up to 7. Sorry. Range for miles. All right, Maggie, you gave us a trivia question in the break that it didn't seem like you had the answer to.
No, I don't.
I love those.
I don't.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so, well, do I have to get... I got to give credit here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we have TVs on in our studio. And the question is actually from ESPN. They said there are two active players with multiple game-winning buzzer-beater shots in the playoffs. LeBron James has 5. Can you name the other person? So has at least two buzzer-beating shots in the playoffs as an active player. And so CeeLo, Perloff, and myself were all guessing. And I guessed Damian Lillard, and it's right.
Was that your first guess?
My first guess, I think I said, I thought Halliburton.
Yeah, but last night
wasn't technically a buzzer beater that tied the game.
So funny. It was that wasn't a buzzer beater.
It would have been that his foot was just behind the line.
I mean, not even foot.
Toe, yeah.
Big toe. Mm-hmm. I don't know what size shoe he wears, but if it was one less, that game ends with no overtime. But CeeLo, you've got some sound for us.
Yeah, so a lot of layers to another epic comeback for the Pacers, shocking the Knicks in game one of the East Finals at the Garden last night, Madison Square Garden, that is, including, as we were just alluding to, the bounce of all bounces.
2-point game, 6 seconds to go. Halliburton driving. He's in the lane. He nearly lost it. He backs up and unloads a three. Oh! That did not happen! It hit the back of the rim! It popped high into the air, and it dropped gently through the net.
It's an interesting way to end up with a swish, well described by Mark Boyle on Pacers Radio. It did turn out it was a two. Halliburton's, I will call it toe, on the line. But for the moment, it felt like the game was over.
Not in all much time as I saw. I just tried to gather myself and knock the shot down. I thought it was a three. I tried to hit the celly, and it didn't work. But we finished it in overtime.
Yeah, the celly was the choke celebration and everything. He's looking right at Spike Lee. He's channeling Reggie Miller. And thankfully for Halliburton, the Pacers did finish off the comeback in OT, winning a wild game 138-135. Allowing all of that to happen, the shooting of Aaron Nesmith, who was absolutely unconscious. 30 points, 8 of 9 from 3, including 6 down the stretch as the Pacers erased a 17-point deficit. It was 14 across the time, final 250, 9 points in the final minute.
I was just doing what the team needed of me, you know. I was just letting them fly. I was in a good rhythm. Didn't really realize what I was doing in the moment. I was just trying to win the basketball game.
A career night for him for sure. On the other side, massive collapse for the Knicks on their home court. How the heck did they allow Nesmith to do that? Head coach Tom Thibodeau.
They got too much airspace, you know, and some of it is transition. Some of it is, you know, coming off pin downs. Some of it communication.
They got to dust themselves off from that one. They've never won a playoff series. When they lose game one at home, they'll be looking to bounce back game two tomorrow night. Game two of the West Finals tonight in Oklahoma City, and in between a series opening win over the Timberwolves, you had Thunder guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander named league MVP for the first time after he finished runner-up to Nikola Jokic last year.
I'm very thankful to be this side of the, I guess, the ballot, but none of it's possible without the guys behind me. The amount of games we won in the fashion that we won the games is so impressive, and is probably the main reason why I get the award. So without them, it's not possible.
And he had them present there at the news conference at the practice facility, and they were wearing the Rolex watches that he bought for them as a token of his appreciation. Stanley Cup playoffs, Western Conference final game one. The Edmonton Oilers on the road took a 3-1 lead into the third period in Dallas, but the home team would have a say in the finale of that game.
Duchesne, left wing side for Haskinen. Right side shot! Just wide of the net, kept alive. Duchesne, second effort, he scores! It is raining power play goals at American Airlines Center, and Dallas has taken the lead 4-3.
Stars Radio 3 power play tallies in a span of about 5.5 minutes in the third period. They ripped off 5 unanswered goals in total for a 6-3 victory to take the series opener there. Tonight you got game 2 between the Panthers and the Hurricanes in Raleigh, with defending champion Florida going for a 2-0 series lead on the road. We did quite a bit on the tush push. You also had the passing of Colts owner Jim Irsay yesterday at the age of 65. A statement from the team said he passed away peacefully in his sleep yesterday afternoon. It made very few public appearances since what the Colts called a severe respiratory illness back in December of 2023, when he was found unconscious in his room and was eventually hospitalized, and had not attended the NFL's annual meeting in Florida prior to the league meetings this week in Minnesota. There was a lot of daytime baseball action Wednesday, but I give you this walk-off from what was a rainy night in New York.
Pitch, spring ball, high fly ball, deep right field. This game is over! Into the second deck, Jason Dominguez and the Yankees. Hey now! Yankees win this game 4-3. Take the first two games of this series.
That's Dave Sims. Final call, WFAN in New York. The 22-year-old Dominguez amongst the youngest Yankees to ever hit a walk-off homer. Yeah, that one didn't go into the booth and clock Dave in the head like it did John Sterling there. It went deep into the second deck in right field. You mentioned Juan Soto with kind of watching that ball he thought was a home run off the wall of Fenway the other night. I feel like this didn't get a lot of attention last night, at least in New York, because of the Knicks-Pacers game. He had another bizarre evening. I don't know if you saw any of this. First two at-bats for Juan Soto against the Red Sox. In a game the Mets won, by the way. Struck out both times on seven pitches without taking the bat off his shoulder.
Oh, no.
That's
and
a
then
protest.
He struck out swinging on three pitches in his third at-bat. So he was 0 for 3, 3 Ks. He did have a sack fly.
Well, do you want to add what happened before the game? That they all said they were cool with? Didn't he get dropped in the batting order?
From second to third.
They shuffled the batting order around.
They put Starling Marte ahead of him.
Yeah, and they were saying it was because of like lefty matchups or whatever.
They did.
And they dropped Pete Alonso to
4.
Like, apparently, everyone was cool with it. Yeah, you didn't get dropped to 8th. This
right.
isn't like a demotion.
But he responded by essentially not swinging the bat for the first couple
I'm
of...
wondering maybe he wasn't as cool with
yeah,
it
maybe.
As.
Perhaps.
Think.
We're not really any on the Mets today, are we?
Sorry.
No, how about this from Pine Needle? Can you imagine if you're just sitting on the subway and Manny gets on looking like that with that angry face?
By the way, one quick thing. If SGA gave Rolexes to his teammates, if Maggie and I win an award, you're getting Timexes. Right?
The Casio watch. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Crystal Presti, Andrew Kaplan.
I think Hertz has got a couple inches on him.